You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Well, hey guys, I do want to welcome you to Grace Church, all our locations. I want to ask you also for a prayer request in the coming season for my ministry. If you'd pray, this week especially, I'm going to withdraw from some of my normal responsibilities around grace and really focus on discipleship. We're praying and trusting God to create a new series of resources, a book called Love Jesus, which talks about what does it look like for us to equip others to love Jesus. And so right after we defeat Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs, defeats the Emperor and Darth Vader, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, right after that, I'm going to withdraw this week just to really focus my week on discipleship. Would you please pray as we try to push the ball forward and helping others look like, what does it look like to make disciples, to be a disciple, to love Jesus? So we're in our final week of our series called 2019. We've been asking God for what kind of topics we think that our church would benefit from in 2019. This is part two of a two-week message. Last week, we talked about the example of a lemon. I asked you, what do you get when you squeeze a lemon? And the natural answer to that is, well, lemon juice. And a guy named Manly Beasley years ago said, wrong, what you get whatever is on the inside. So this looks like a lemon. And so if we cut this open, the appearance certainly looks like a lemon. On the inside, we do see, yeah, the inside matches the exterior appearance. And then when this lemon is squeezed, when pressure is applied, lemon juice comes out, which is good news. That's what we thought. It appeared like lemon, and it is lemon. But we know appearances can be deceiving. Sometimes you got a marriage that just looks great, but the inside, they're dying. Sometimes you got a career or some grades that look great on the outside, but on the inside doesn't match the outside appearance. And when pressure is applied, whatever's on the inside comes out. So here's a lemon. Sure, it looks like a lemon, but if we open this thing up, oh, this is disgusting. My hand is covered in blackness. So the interior of this lemon does not match the exterior appearance. And when pressure is applied, oh, that is just gross. Whatever's on the inside comes out. I am disgusted by that, seriously. And so here's the thing. That might be true about a marriage. It might be true about a company sometimes. An appearance looks one way. The inside looks different. But it also can be true for individuals in our own souls, our own heart. This actually, we're introducing a topic. Last week, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's your inner world when the Holy Spirit of God guides you and leads you. On the inside, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, peace is inside you. His love is joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We unpacked these in detail last week. Notice the fruit of the Spirit is singular. You get all nine of these character qualities of God at the very same moment when you receive Christ as Savior. We talked about last week what the fruit of the Spirit is not. The fruit of the Spirit is not a set of laws, a to-do list, or areas to try harder. Yes. Now, well, I really ought to love more. I should be more long-suffering with other people. I'm going to try harder to have more self-control. It's none of those things. This is a relationship with God Almighty, a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is, in fact, the result of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ working inside you. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Like, God Himself takes people and their old nature, our old nature, by the way, our old self, the selfish us, the old us, is called the flesh. This is us by nature. And by the miracle of God, when you receive Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ lives in your body, and He transforms this into this in your soul. Now, last week we talked about what the fruit of the Spirit is. I encourage you to go back and listen to the fruit of the Spirit message. This week we're going to talk about how you're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the challenge for communicating how you experience the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a set of laws, a to-do list, or areas to try harder. Converting the inner world from this to this would be a lot easier to communicate if I could just tell you, here's a set of laws and do these, or here's a to-do list. If you do this, do this, do this, or areas, if you just try harder, it certainly make my life much easier. Well, it's not the reality. The fruit of the Spirit is a relationship with the Creator that lives inside your body. It's a relationship. Which is why when you look in Galatians chapter 5, by the way, when you look in Galatians chapter 5, there's a phrase that bookends on the front side and back side of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's the phrase, walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then after you read through the fruit of the Spirit, then you get on the other side, Galatians 5, 25, you see that same phrase. If we live in the Spirit, that's a term for every person who has Christ as Savior. Your soul is living inside the Holy Spirit now. Let us also walk in the Spirit. So the key is walking. Walking is not a list of rules or regulations, a to-do list. Think about walking just for a second. Think about walking. This picture of walking is what God says, if you want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, think about walking, this practice called walking, which seems so simple but is incredibly complicated, but God simplifies it down to, do you know how to walk? That is how you experience the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to pray and we'll dive into today's topic. How do you experiencing the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control of God as the controlling factor in your spirit? Let's pray. God, I pray you would work in an incredible way. Lord, this has been a miserable message to prepare. It has, Lord. I have talked to you, prayed, confessed, begged, and yet I am so confident, Lord, every time it's misery to prepare, it's because you are wanting to do great things in people's souls. You are wanting to set people free in Olathe, free in North Northern Park, free in South Northern Park, free wherever they're joining us online. God, I believe that to my soul. So I pray you'd move in our lives. I pray for those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, who are skeptics. Lord, there's some reasonable questions they have probably popping up in their mind already. I pray they would see that our faith is a reasonable faith. It's a relationship with the risen Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Think about walking here for a second. So if you want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, he says, then walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So most likely you probably walked, if you're at one of our locations, most likely you walked there. And when you got up and you walked today, did you think about walking like this? Okay, I've got to walk. I got to walk somewhere. Oh, no, it's right foot up, right foot forward, right foot down. Do it right. Left foot catch up, right, left foot up, left foot forward, left foot down. That'd be kind of weird to think about walking that way, wouldn't it? You probably walk, if you do walk, you probably walk without even thinking about it. You've been walking your whole life since you started walking. You just kind of walk across the way. Yeah, I don't think about it. I sort of walk. I just sort of do it. It's normal. It's natural. I've practiced this over the years. Even people who are good at walking occasionally have to think about how they're walking. Sometimes you trip. You're walking along and you trip. Okay, what just happened? Did my foot catch? Did I put my foot too low? Like, even people walking, sometimes you have to think about walking occasionally. If it's icy, you think about walking. If it's rocky, if you got injured and have to relearn how to walk, some people have to reteach you how to walk over the course of time because your body has like ceased to remember. Okay, this is how I walk again. Little kids have to be taught how to walk. They need others. When you're young, you need others to help you learn how to walk. There's one person on one side, come on, you can do it. Come on. The other person's on the other side holding little hands. Take that one little step, and that little child just, they take that little step. You finally take that little step. It's a single step. It feels weird. It feels awkward. You don't know how to do it yet. That is walking in the Spirit. When you are newer to Christianity, the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit feels like a toddler taking your first steps. It's really weird. It's really odd. Am I doing this right? And as you grow, as you get used to walking in the Spirit, it becomes second nature. You notice when you're not doing it. You make those auto corrections as you go along. So what I want to do is I want to walk you through Galatians, the from walk in the Spirit to walk in the Spirit, this little section, and then just kind of give you a couple of thoughts how you can experience the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go up to the start in Galatians chapter 5. There's the whole concept starts with an idea of a constant battle. There is a constant battle going on in our soul. For those who have Jesus Christ as Savior, you have an old nature living in your body. That old nature is selfish, self-centered, fearful, desiring control. The new nature, by the way, if you don't have Christ as Savior yet, that's the only nature you can act on, the only nature influencing you. If you receive Christ as Savior, I did at 19 and a half years old, you also now receive the Holy Spirit of God, which sets you free from your old nature, but your old nature is still there. And the Holy Spirit is there enveloping you. And now you have a choice. There's a constant battle between the old nature in your body and your new nature in the Holy Spirit. You see this in Galatians 5, verse 16, which says this: I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice he doesn't say that you won't experience the lust of the flesh. You won't have that thought. Absolutely. He says you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You realize the first thought you have, however horrific it is not sin. It's the lust of the flesh. It's a temptation to sin. And Jesus, by the way, experienced every temptation you and I would ever experience. The temptation to be selfish, he experienced it. Temptation to lust, temptation to greed, he experienced those things. If you walk in the Spirit, you don't listen to that. You don't fulfill it. Next verse, Galatians 5, verse 17 says this: For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The reason you don't do the good you desire to do, and you do the bad, is there's this constant battle. Your old nature still lives in your body if you have Christ as Savior. Yes, the Holy Spirit sets you free and has the power, but if you listen to your old nature, you still can do those things you regret, you wish you didn't do. It's a constant 24/7 battle. Your body did not get transformed yet. Next verse, Galatians 5:18 says this: But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So Paul begins talking about this whole concept that you have this constant battle in your body, and you have different results. You listen to the flesh, one set of results. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God, different results. Galatians 5, the next verse 19 says, Now the works of the flesh, and he's about to list 18 horrific things that we do by nature in our selfishness that are against God, that is the results of our old nature. The 18th basically is like, and if yours isn't in here, add it in here. So he says, Galatians 5:19, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, there's your sexual sins, uncleanness, anything not of God, lewdness, verse 20, idolatry, anything that's a higher priority than God is an idol, sorcery, any connection with the spirit realm that's not through Jesus Christ is sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, false beliefs. Next verse, verse 21. Envy, murders, drunkenness or drug abuse, revelries and the like all the selfish control issues, whatever you have, unforgiveness, unbelief, fear, anything not mentioned goes right in there, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I tell you in time past, that those who practice such things, if you live listening to your old nature, listen to what it says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Your inheritance can go, but if you listen to the Spirit, look what the Spirit is. Galatians 5, verse 22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That's Christ's inner world. Christ's inner world was characterized by love, joy, and peace. And he told his apostles, he tells us, he just gave us his love, joy, and peace as a gift. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness. That's Christ living in us and how we relate to others. Being long-suffering with others. Being kind to them. Expressing goodness toward them. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's Christ going to the cross, obeying when he didn't want to go. That's what happens in us. We have the ability in the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is the ability to obey when we don't want to obey, follow when we don't want to follow, when it's inconvenient, hurtful to us. It helps other people. We are following the Lord. Against such, there is no law. Then he talks about our participation in the process. So this is not like the fruit of the Spirit is not like passive, oh, Holy Spirit, I'll just kind of wait until you do something in me, change me. You have active, aggressive participation with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:24 says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What is my participation here? Believing the truth that I have been totally set free from my old nature. That God counts my old nature to have been crucified with Jesus on the cross. I'm set free from it. Here's my participation. I believe, God, that I am Christ's. I believe my old nature has been crucified with his passions and desires. Next verse, Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, that's the term for every person who has Christ as Savior, your soul is now surrounded by the Holy Spirit. You live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Okay, so part of the agony of prepping this message is I had like 50 things I wanted to share with you. But it's not a law. It's not a to-do list. How in the world do you communicate the relationship? How in the world communicate? So it becomes so natural. At some point, God wants your connection with the Holy Spirit of God to become so natural and normal that it's just as normal as walking. As walking forward, yeah, it's just, yeah, every day you get up and you're just as much as you're walking around normally, you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You walk in the direction the Holy Spirit is going. You walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit. You walk in community, commune with the Holy Spirit. So, prayed about it a lot, landed on two kind of areas for emphasis for us. And so here's kind of my first area of emphasis for us. It's this, to fight. My first word is to fight. If you want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, you got to fight for it. You have to fight for your time with God where you open your heart. I'm telling you, having your unique time with God on an almost daily basis will transform your life. And I'm telling you, you have to fight for it. Because there are priorities and issues that will come up and an enemy that does not want us to have time with God. And you have to figure out what your unique time with God looks like and fight to keep it there. Because I promise you, every other priority will come in and you're going to say, well, I don't have time for it. And fight to where you open your heart to God. There's a lady last few months that went from being on the receiving end of kind of being a leaf drifting along in life, asking God to move, to fighting on a daily basis for her relationship with Christ, and her life was transformed. She's fought for a time with God that's real and that fits her personality, her unique wiring. Here's what she wrote me about it. She said, I just have to tell you that the other night, Change the way I pray for the everyday things. I am more peaceful now, more discerning. And this joy thing for the Spirit is really cool. I can even hear myself talking differently to people with more confidence. I talked to my dad yesterday, she writes. It's the first time since that night. And in the middle of the conversation, my dad says, you sure sound like you're in a good mood. I said, without hesitation, yes, I am. And it hit me. Here it comes. My dad hears the difference. I'm fighting daily, her words. Thanks for the continued encouragement and prayers. Guys, I'm telling you, fighting for a relationship with Christ on a daily basis, where you open your heart to God. You share whatever you're thinking and feeling. You ask God to speak to you. Will you open it, your heart and life is humongous. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Here's just one verse. You could use like this verse of the Bible. Like So in my time with God, what's a minimum time with God? I usually recommend some sort of Bible verses, a chapter, a single verse, a couple of verses, where you express your heart to God, where you read, where you believe it, where you ask God to move, where you learn something about God, where you talk to God, you pray. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to look the same tomorrow. It doesn't have to look like mine. But you have to fight for it. And when you fight for God, transforms your heart. What kinds of things might you do in your time with God? Here's a whole list of things. Maybe it's reading the Bible or reading a devotional with some verses in there. Sharing your heart with God. Telling Him what you absolutely really think. Journaling. Literally taking a piece of paper and writing out, "Dear Lord, I'm thinking this. I'm feeling this." Believing a promise of God. Telling Him you believe it. Thanking Him for something. Singing. Out, singing in response to God, asking Him for things, confessing sin. You might want to take a picture of this slide, first of all. This is a really good slide. But please, please, please don't take your time with God as some sort of law that if you miss a day, you miss a couple days, it's over. It's a relationship. And don't take this list of practices that you have to do each one in that order. Some days for me, it's just sharing my heart. Some days just thanking God. It's reading and confessing sin. It looks different every single time. I'll give you one example of this. Let's just take this one Bible verse and practice a couple of these. Maybe today in my time with God, I got like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So I'm going to read the Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to share my heart. God, I look at that list and it excites me about who You are. Thank You that You are love, You are joy, that self-control is in You. This also scares me because sometimes I don't have these things and it frustrates me when I fail in this area. I'm sharing my heart. How about believe? God, right now, I place my faith in the fact that the Spirit of God has placed true love and faithfulness and kindness and self-control in me. I thank You, God. I thank You, thank You. This is real. I place my faith in the fact that this is true. Confess sin. God, please, I have failed. Forgive me for not being faithful. Guys, you got to fight for your time with God. Where on a multiple times a week, unique to you, in a place that's unique to you, where you open your heart to God. And it transforms your life. Because it's not some sort of to-do list, not a bunch of laws. It's a relationship. And you cannot say you have a relationship with somebody if you never talk to them or you never listen to them. This is you listening to God and talking to God. That's what relationships are based on. Number one, you got to fight for your time with God where you open up your heart. Okay, there's a second thing I want to share with you. It's all about surrender. The first was fight. And the second one is surrender. Surrender control to God. This is a hard one for me. I don't like surrendering. I don't like giving up. And I certainly don't like giving up control. Surrendering control of your life to God. Maybe it's a situation that you're struggling with giving up control about. Maybe it's a decision. You don't want to give control of that decision up to God. You don't want to make that decision. God keeps prompting. He's bringing up the topic over here, over there. You know He is. Maybe it's a timing thing that you know what should be done, but it's not in your timing, and you're frustrated and impatient, surrendering control to God. I had a guy in the last year also write me that he surrendered his career to God. Just listen to his story. It transformed his life. He experienced the fruit of the Spirit. Here's this guy said this. He says, "I prayed for guidance about surrendering my career to God as You instructed. I can't say with certainty that I heard a yes or no to my prayer." Guys, ladies, he said, "I asked God, do I stay in this career or not? Do I leave or not?" He writes, "Nevertheless, I immediately felt the joy, peace, and love about which You spoke. Like many men, my career has defined who I am as a person. It and the money I derive from it have always been my most important possessions. Giving my career up to God and my money to God, cold turkey, so to speak, is not easy, but it frees up considerable time to focus on helping raise my family in a Christian environment with a fully engaged father. This radically changed my life and my relationship with God." What changed his life? He surrendered. He surrendered. What changed in this other lady's life? She started fighting. And it turned this inside their souls into this. The Holy Spirit of God, they were starting to walk in the Spirit, and they experienced love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. At this time, I'm going to invite our hosts onto the stage right now. Okay, I want you, as they're coming up, ask yourself the question, are you surrendering total control of everything, everyone in your life to God? Are you surrendering?